This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
We're back at it today. God bless you.
It was a cough.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
But thank you anyway. Thank you.
You can't trust a cough after 30, Mac. I'm just telling you. What is it Theo Von says? You can't trust a fart after 30?
Yeah, that's...
You can't trust a cough.
You ever try to
either.
Cough and pee at the same time at the urinal? Oh, my goodness. You want to talk about a challenge for a man.
Look like a giraffe.
I told that story off the air, didn't I?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
The Denver Zoo, two giraffes going at it. Oh, it was spectacular.
Hell of a climax.
Oh, I mean, I don't even know how to explain it.
And that's how we're starting Thursday.
That's right. It is Thursday, right? Well, right. What else are we supposed to do? All the schools are closed. Kids are home again. It's so damn cold out. What was the lowest temperature you saw in your
car
driving? Oh, you saw negative 10?
I have a video of it.
Okay, yeah. Negative 10. Well, I had, I think negative 7 was the lowest that I saw driving in. So
yeah, I had 8 below.
8 below zero. And that's, again, that's real temperature, folks. That's
unreal.
Not wind chill. That's not, you know, feels like, though, that's like legit temperatures right now.
I will say this is as push and pee here, they say, pushing positivity. I don't think that's the reference in the rap song, but that's what I'm saying. I think this is it.
This is it. Yes.
I think this is like the final boss of winter. You get through today, and I'll explain. You get through today, and I get it. Tomorrow's going to be like 30, but it's going to feel like a heat wave.
A high of 29 tomorrow,
okay.
Right?
Yeah.
What is that going to feel like? That's going to feel like summer. Yeah, no, it is. It's going to feel so warm outside tomorrow.
And then Saturday, Sunday, obviously warmer and warmer. And then next week, it's like in the mid to high 50s.
Yeah, I saw 59 on Monday or Tuesday.
Go.
Then into the 60s late in the week. And, you know, I've been looking at that 45-day forecast on AccuWeather. Because
got his farmer's almanac next to his Folgers.
I do, man, because I hate this weather so much. Like, it's just, and that's why I'm so excited. Hey, Dodgers-Cubs spring training baseball. I'll be watching. Hey, robot umps. I'm interested.
2 p.m. or something
2 p.m.?
Like that?
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be on somewhere, I'm sure. Some station will be carrying it.
Right after my nap.
You know, and so you get robot umpires, you get sun in Arizona. So a couple of cool things in baseball.
Yeah.
And we get Vern later on today, and then the weather starts to turn. And then I think looking at that 45-day forecast, we are pretty much, and there'll be some days in the 40s and whatnot, but after this, who the hell cares?
That's
take your shirt off weather and go to the pool, you know?
I might have lied about golf because a buddy texted me last night. I was like, what are your plans next Monday and Tuesday mid-afternoon? I was like, why? I was like, do you need help moving something? Because when you get that from your buddy, it's like, hey, what's up? Are you busy next week, Monday or Tuesday? Like during the week, you're like, oh, are you?
You're old enough to hire a mover.
Yeah. So I was like, yeah, probably. I mean, you know, be home by about noon. Okay, I just want to know if you wanted to golf. And I was like,
is the snow still going to be out there, though?
Oh, it'll be gone by Monday morning.
Okay, but if what
it's
kind of swampland will
it'll
be then,
it'll
you know?
It'll be mucky. I mean, you'll definitely need two towels and two pairs of socks. And you'll be mud splashing for sure. I mean, a lot of mud balls.
I mean, it's got to be awful.
I mean, I'm so stir-crazy, Bob. Like,
yeah,
I have to get out.
You do,
I've got to get out and do something. Like, yesterday, I literally, had a thrill. parking my car in the back of Hy-Vee's parking lot just to walk
in. Just to walk further. Yeah, I do it all the time, too. I park as far away as I can to walk in.
I was like, I don't want
to
go home.
Yeah. No, but imagine having two kids and a wife there that haven't been out of the house in a while either. And, you know, not being able to go to school. Like, this sucks for the kids. I know we joke about it and all, but, I mean, they're cooped up just like everybody else.
Sure.
Nobody wants
and
this going on.
And their attention
span
is way less than ours.
I mean, like, it's terrible.
Right. Yeah, we could, like, read.
Yeah, right. you do something or, you know.
You could go prep for the show.
Right. Exactly. And that's kind of what I've been doing because I feel like I've been on house arrest, you know, with all this kind of stuff going on because there's, like, you go to the gym afterwards and that's such a big relief to, you know, to do stuff like that. Like, today I'm going to Hy-Vee. They've got Bubbly on sale. I'm very excited about that.
Michael Bublé.
And so I'm like, ooh, Bubbly's on sale. I think I'll stop on the way home just to do something, right?
Yeah.
And to kind of get out of the house. So I know all other parents are feeling that as well. Like, the kids want to go to school. They want to be out of the house. They're tired of it. And I think this is probably the last day of that. I think we'll probably get back tomorrow to school. And then, as you've been talking about, we're kind of home free, you know, down the stretch as we get closer and closer to moving the clocks forward 17 days from that. And then spring is here. And, you know, all of a sudden that's all she wrote. Then it's summertime and everybody's having a good time going, oh, it's so hot. And then remember these days.
You'll be begging for the Coors Light train to come through your neighborhood.
That's exactly right.
People all over the world. But no, yeah, you get through today. But again, Ben Maller, 7:15, Josh Verner, live in Arizona today at 8 o'clock here on this show. Then tonight, Vern's Hot Stove Show.
Hot Stove.
Live from Arizona at 6 p.m. So you'll hear us talk about that a little bit. And then tomorrow, the Royals are on this radio station at 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
So that's why I say get through this today. And then, like, this is it. If you can power through today, like, this is your Thursday. Literally,
in
weather terms,
for the winter. Like,
yeah,
this is
and
it.
And then it's over. And then we can all be in better moods. You can, because this does. I'm not gonna lie, this weather can kind of make you a grouch.
Oh how?
Like,
oh yeah.
You know, you wake up, you're just pissed.
Yeah.
get up, you're like, I don't care.
Yeah.
Shut up,
I mean, like, I like going outside and just sitting for 10 minutes, you know, at a time to get the vitamin D. And what you can't even do that, like.
No.
I went outside yesterday at 7 o'clock, right? Just to see what the temperature and how it was, because all those people that were sitting, not many, I'm surprised. You know, I thought there'd be more at the soccer game last night, quite honestly. People going, I'm going, you know, one of those type of things. And, you know, it was a decent enough crowd. But, like, so I went outside at 7 o'clock just to see. I was out there for maybe 2 minutes. I'm like, I'm back in, man. Like, God love you if you went to that damn soccer game last night.
Which you got exactly what you wanted.
Messi
started,
scored,
and he scored in the 56th minute, which is when I would have left.
And then you get up and leave at that.
Which you would have survived
time,
the first half, a halftime, and then, I guess, you know, 10 minutes into the second half, 11 minutes into the second half, Messi scores, boom, bye, ends, 1-0.
Yeah, it's over.
1-0.
Yeah, you got what you wanted. Did you know these two teams are playing again next week in Fort Lauderdale? Like, they should have just flipped the games around and played the first one down there once they saw the forecast and then moved it up here. And so, you know, Sporting has to score 2 goals in order to advance. If they don't win by 2, then it's over. And
aggregate
whatnot.
Scoring.
Yeah, I like aggregate scoring. I think it's good. I think it's a lot of fun to do it that way. You know, like, I think baseball, like, if they're doing their playoffs, aggregate scoring would be kind of a cool way to do
I've
things.
I've always said
that's
how fantasy football championships should be decided. I think you should play 2 weeks and whoever scores the most points in 2 weeks. Wins.
I kind of like that. I don't mind
some
that.
People hate it because then you get into like week 16,
right?
And there could be some people that rest their starters,
correct?
Or whatever, but I've always said that.
Or you can just move the fantasy weeks up too. I mean, you could cut your fantasy season shorter, right? Make it a 12-week season and then play your final two
normally
games or something.
Yeah, normally,
you know?
It's about 12, 13 weeks, and then you play like 3 rounds of playoffs.
Yeah.
First round of the top two teams get a bye, but.
You can always change that, you know, to do whatever you want. But no,
if you have an active commissioner.
Yeah, right.
Some guys are just like, all right, money's due, drafts in an hour. You're like, oh, all right, here we go.
Thank you very much. But aggregate scoring, I think, could be a lot of fun in these playoff games, because if you win a game 10-0, like, you get
hockey.
No credit. Yeah, they should do it in hockey. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. They should do
games
it.
Like sports like that.
Yeah.
Like, basketball's too tough. Football,
like
baseball, you could, I mean, like,
well, baseball, you could. Let's take that wild card round for a second. I know we're
play 2 games and
play a game in Baltimore. You play a game in Kansas City. That's it. It's a 2-game series, aggregate scoring. Whoever scores the most runs in 2 games wins.
Right.
I kind of like that idea. I think that would be a lot of fun to give you the opportunity to absolutely have a home game in the playoffs if you make it in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
But just do something different. Just do something different that nobody else is doing.
If at the end of that second game, the aggregate score is tied,
keep
you'd
going.
Go to extras.
Yeah, that's okay. Good question. I hadn't thought about
runners.
That. Yeah.
Expedited pitch clock. Yeah. You have 5 seconds to throw it.
Yeah, ghost runners on every base, and there's a zero pitch clock. Like, as soon as you get it, you got to throw it back.
And then we can
right?
see if that pitcher from Georgia still has that sort of swag. How about that guy?
Yeah, that guy. Wow.
That guy's what baseball needs, dude.
I love it. Yes,
if
absolutely.
If you miss the video, there's a guy in college that pitches for Georgia, and he looks at the tying runner in the game, sticks his tongue out, and gives him like a little, how you doing, Gene Simmons, and then goes right back, throws a pitch, strike, no swing, caught looking, and then glove off, and just, and gives himself a round of applause. I was like, that is the most charismatic thing and ballsy thing I've ever seen, because one, that guy can't get thrown at, so he's invincible. But two, like, now you put your team at risk the next time you play that team.
A little bit, but you know what? Like, that's what baseball needs.
Yeah.
Like, I think we're out of the era of people getting mad at the bat flip. Like there was a time, and especially like Jose Bautista,
you know. There's still some old hags in the league.
I know, but those people, I got to be honest with you, you got to move those people out. You got to move those people out and get more people like that Georgia pitcher to come in and celebrate himself. But that's what we want.
How
big a star would that guy be in baseball if that guy went out there and do that kind of stuff, right? Like, people would absolutely love it. That's what baseball needs. You need personalities to move your game forward. That's why people are so excited about this hockey game. Yeah, it's Canada, U.S., but how much more excited are we because we had three fights in 9 seconds to start that game, and both Tkachuk brothers are beating the snot out of some Canadian guy, right? Like, that's why we're involved in this game more so than anything, because you had that personality showing. People like it. Fans can relate and whatnot. And if you have a team with no personality, it's hard to kind of grasp on as a fan. So I love the celebrating in baseball.
Yeah. I don't know how much of the Mizzou game you guys watched last night. I watched minute for minute, second for second. Great game.
Yeah, I watched most of it. It was awesome.
Three things. Dennis Gates is about as cool as the other side of the pillow.
It's amazing how him and Tang have flipped roles in like a year.
Oh, yeah. And two, Nate Oates is probably one of the most annoying people in the entire world.
That's the Alabama coach, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you would have asked me who the Alabama coach was, no chance I would have known, but I know the name Nate Oates.
Three, the greatest thing of the game last night happened in the postgame.
You know, they
that's fantastic.
Perfect in press conference over, I guess, right?
Have you heard this?
No.
Somebody pulled the fire alarm. Is that what we got going?
Please. Your attention, please.
Squid game.
Yeah, they were on fire tonight. That's for sure. What was going on? We've known that for about 2 hours.
Self-deprecating moment. Like, got your ass kicked, threw a temper tantrum that caused a technical foul in the game by knocking the playboard out of your coach's assistant's hands, getting a technical. The marker went all over the court, and then the fire alarm
goes
off. And
it's
like, yeah, they were on fire tonight. We got our ass kicked.
Yeah.
I mean, it was 110-98.
That's a big score for a college game.
It was awesome, man. Like, there was no defense, which I didn't need it. But Mizzou is just, I mean,
everybody complains about defense in basketball. Nobody plays defense. And then you get a 110-98. That was a great game. You know, like, so for the folks who complain about defense, you want scoring. You want to see these guys score.
I mean, Mizzou, I mean, we'll talk about it later in the show. I mean, obviously, hockey's the focal point today, which is crazy to me. But good for it. But, like, look, man, Mizzou.
Mizzou set themselves up for a great first-round knockout this year. I'll tell you that.
Don't do that. Oh, that'd be tough.
Because that's all that matters. This is fun. Do it in the tournament, right? Don't Norfolk State, Bucknell, Bradley, all that, you know?
Yeah, but to be fair, like, they went from not winning a conference game last year.
Oh, it's, yeah.
To absolutely, I mean, they've beaten three top five teams this year.
Yeah.
Kansas being one of them. And the thing that's crazy is they're playing in the SEC, which is the toughest conference and one of the toughest I've ever seen as a follower of college basketball. And they're winning against these type of, I mean, they were so much better than Alabama last night. It wasn't even close.
And this is the beauty of NIL and the transfer portal. And while Kansas fans are probably rueing the day that came on, this gives an opportunity for a Missouri fan base that's been kicked in the nuts by their basketball team for the better part of two decades now to have the opportunity to quickly turn this thing around. It's great for coaches who are kind of on the hot seat as well. Like, you get this opportunity to put out a winning team. Like, Missouri is prime case for why the NIL and transfer portal works. Kansas is test case for why it doesn't work.
Yeah, Mizzou's best player last night had 31 points. He's a transfer from Duke. And he's a junior.
There you go.
So, I mean, it's good. Coming up on their side, we will address what is the obvious, which is the hockey game. And we want to know, 913-586-7965, scale of 1 to 10.
Scale of 1 to 10. How juiced are you for this game tonight, United States versus Canada? Primetime spot, 7 p.m. 913-586-7965. How juiced, scale of 1 to 10, are you for this hockey game versus United States versus the Canadian national team? Fesco, Dusty, Mac here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Shout out Harold Koontz, man.
I mean, this guy's working at night in the sub-zero temperatures covering a soccer game.
I know that man very well, and I know those eyes are pissed.
Yeah, that's he's the hardest working man, and I'll tell you what, Harold Koontz is everywhere, covering everything.
Shout out HK, man. Yeah, man.
There you go, Harold. I'm looking at him at that soccer game last night as we had the TV on. He's bundled up. He's like, I'd rather be anywhere but here.
Yeah, you know he's pissed. I can tell.
I mean, ridiculously cold last night. And if you went, how cold was it, right? I mean,
fans bundled up for sporting game.
Well, oh, you think?
There you go. I was wondering when the first shot was of the cardboard.
Oh, there's one with a blanket.
I'd have taken.
I mean, what could you have possibly worn last night to keep yourself protected from that?
I'm surprised we didn't see shirtless guy, but that's not really soccer vibe.
Yeah, I mean, but I'm surprised just because it would have been like a way to get on TV, and you know how people are with that kind of stuff these days.
Respect the text. We asked for a scale of 1 to 10. How juiced are you for the hockey game tonight against the United States and Canada? Scale of 1 to 10, I'm at a 1776.
Let's go. That's great.
Take the day, man. Take it.
That is great. I was going to say an 11, you know, because, I can't remember the last time I've been this kind of juiced up for a hockey game, right? Yeah. It's probably been maybe an Olympic game or something like that where you force yourself to get excited.
We were talking about game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals last year.
Yeah, but not like this one, right?
You'd have a dog in the fight.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Everybody has a rooting interest, you know. Yeah,
unless you were like Edmonton or somebody like that, then last year you're jacked.
Yeah, you ever meet a Florida Panther fan?
Yeah, Dan Le Batard.
Okay.
And Stu Gatz.
All right. So you actually met those guys. But other than that,
I met Stu. I haven't met Dan, but I met Stu at Radio Row.
Ever made an Edmonton Oiler fan before?
No.
No, there you go. So so everybody's got a dog in this fight, right? Yeah. Everybody's got a dog in it tonight.
And I'm a Kachuk guy tonight, though.
Everybody's going to be watching.
Also, sidebar conversation.
Yeah.
Is the hockey jersey the best jersey?
It's a sweater. It's a good one. Yeah.
Like, I love the NBA jersey because it's.
Yeah, those are pretty great.
You could wear it at the pool.
Yep.
You could wear it over the suit. You know how you have the suit guy?
Oh, God.
You know what I'm talking about? You know what I mean?
That guy, yeah. Yikes. I'm too busy from work, so I'm going to put a basketball. Yeah. It's usually a Kansas fan.
Baseball
over
jersey, yeah. I think the jersey's better for baseball fan-wise because the jersey, you know, but no, I don't know. NFL, decent, but it's, like, very patchy. Like, if you get one of those authentic ones, like. I don't know.
People like the patches, though. Some people really like collect them. I'm not interested in that kind
patches
of
Patches O'Houlihan. Legend in dodgeball.
Legend.
Somebody says play Freebird, Matt. Come on.
Yeah.
Good morning, guys. Very excited for the hockey game tonight. Let's go USA. Juice for United States Canada hockey. 1 out of 10. Don't get mad because I disagree.
He's a 1 out of 10. Not excited. Yeah. Okay, if you're not excited, tell me.
That's
tell us
fine.
Why.
It's not everybody's.
Everybody's cup of tea. I won't watch basketball, so that's fine. But let us know why you're not excited for that game tonight. Maybe you just don't like hockey. But I think, like you asked, how many celebrities are going to be there tonight?
Over 10.5.
I think probably
or under.
Well, I don't know. It's who's a celebrity anymore, right? If they show some guy that's famous on Instagram or something like that,
if you are
on
camera
count,
and they have a graphic
and they
of
have
your name,
you're a
celebrity.
Okay, all right, that's fine. That's a fair way.
Because I would assume the Bostonians would be like. I feel like Damon's probably
Damon
there.
Damon will be there. Die Beltron.
You got to think. Does Big Poppy go?
I mean, that is his effing city, right? I mean,
like,
you know,
is he there?
Big ticket, Pierce.
Yeah.
Paul Pierce maybe going, but he's too busy working on a bad television career. So he may not be there for that game. What about, like, Kevin Garnett? Does he show up to that game?
Well,
does Larry Bird?
Anything's possible.
You know? Yeah.
Nice.
Thank you. I don't know. I'm trying to think, like. Somebody says they're at a 51.
That's good.
I'm just happy that it's at 7 p.m. Like, everybody can enjoy that.
That's right. Yeah,
like,
it's the
if
perfect
you have kids
time.
That like to eat at, like, 5 o'clock, or if you're like Bob, like to eat at 5:30 and 6, like, you're done with everything. 7 o'clock, boom, game. 2.5 hours, 9:30, Goodbye.
Goodbye. You're done. Yeah.
And tomorrow's Friday.
And exactly right. So it's not like you have to be really functioning tomorrow at work. And so, you know, I think it's going to get a big number. I think there's going to be a lot of people. Like Saturday Night Live was 15 million people that
watched
that.
More or less than this.
I'm going to guess kind of around the same. I'm going to say somewhere between 10 and 15 million watched this.
The entire country of Canada will watch.
Yeah.
The entire country of the United States will watch.
I hope they do.
I will say this. There is a ton of NBA games on tonight. So that's, I know the NBA's ratings are extremely down. It's not as
attractive.
And it's
regular season NBA, versus.
But, I mean, then you have people like the 702 says, haven't missed a single game of the Four Nations. We cannot wait for tonight. Pizza, beer on the menu. America, boys. Let's go. What are you guys doing for dinner?
Yeah, I have, my wife made some chicken last night for tonight, so we'll probably, you know, do that and whatnot. I don't think it's anything, you know, spectacular dinner-wise for a Thursday night
Matt
game.
Might have
maybe
Caesar.
We just want to get the hell out of the house.
Matt might be doing a Caesar. Grilled chicken Caesar wraps.
Yes, that sounds amazing.
I saw a video, of course, like as we were like here earlier, and I was like on my phone, and it was like DIY, like crispy chicken Caesar sandwich.
Mm-hmm. So good.
She made like a cutlet on like a garlic parmesan bread, put like a parmesan garlic spread, fried the cutlet, then made a Caesar salad, put it on top, shredded cheese, ate it.
Yeah.
Sandwich. I mean, come on.
It looks pretty good.
Caesar wrap, underrated. We talked about this, like, this is a very, very hype of a game. Like, this is a, like, I'll be honest with you, I don't watch a lot of hockey. I don't think that's a secret, but I will not miss a second of this game tonight.
Well, like, it's like me with the basketball during the Olympics.
Yeah.
I don't watch basketball.
Right.
I don't like the sport.
Right.
But when they were playing in the Olympics, it was United States, that was great. That was fun, right?
Watching my damn country, man.
And this is kind of like, I think, for most people with hockey. Yeah. You probably don't watch a lot of regular season, and not a lot of people are watching a lot of regular season NHL hockey. The numbers will tell you that, right?
In fact, like, I planned for this night on Tuesday. Like, I knew what I was doing at 7 p.m. on Tuesday afternoon, like, straight up.
Yeah.
And, like, plan the menu around it, plan, you know, everything. It's like 7 o'clock Thursday night. I'm not going anywhere except recliner and TV.
And this is an anomaly. This is a one-off of these type of games. Like, mm-hmm. We don't get a lot of these type of games where, like, this is, I'm not going to say it's a Super Bowl or anything
but it's tier down.
Yeah, it's a tier down. It's like everybody's talking about this game no matter where you go. It's like, oh, my God, have you seen this hockey thing that's going on? This hockey stuff is great. This is fun.
And obviously hockey is, you know, it's almost to a point where it's like a cult following, like people that, you know what I mean? So like, and I think there's a couple of moments where we've had this, like United States Olympic team basketball, you get kind of that way, but like you wait until it gets to like the final four teams. Cause you would assume the United States in basketball would get to the championship game.
Right.
Then they do. And you're like, all right, France, United States in Paris. Like let's
go.
This.
Yeah.
And then the World Baseball Classic, when I think it was Japan versus United States,
and that was good.
And you got the moment that we all wanted, which was Ohtani versus Trout.
Right.
You know, game on the line. Here we go. And then, you know, you parlay that into this tonight. And, you know, this is one of those events that's not always given to you. Like, if you missed the Mizzou game last night, which was great if you're a Mizzou fan, you've always got Saturday. Then you've got next Tuesday or Wednesday.
Saturday. And yeah, right.
This is it. And I promise you, if you go to your Twitter account, if you have one, if you don't, no worries, or your Facebook or your Instagram, at 7:30, people you didn't even know, people you didn't think, will be talking about what's going on tonight because of the importance and the impact this game has. And this game means nothing other than pride.
But it's pride.
National pride.
I mean, guys are talking, though, on both sides that this is bigger than the Stanley Cup for them. And to hear the players
talk that way. I think they're also lost in the moment.
But again, hockey players are raised that you play for your country.
Right.
NBA players aren't. Hockey players, baseball players are. Football players aren't. Like, you don't see the national football team, right? You do in baseball, you do in hockey. That's really where it's big. Guys are raised to play for that, you know, name on the front of their jersey. And you talk to baseball players too, because I thought the World Baseball Classic was kind of a whatever. Then you start talking to the players that participated in that, and you realize how much that does mean to them, and they're playing for that name, that flag, that, you know, that country that they grew up in and whatnot, and that's really cool. That's where this is with hockey. These guys know, hey, the Stanley Cup's awesome, but this is playing for America, this is playing for Canada, and we're playing our biggest rival in the sport. I mean, there's a lot of bragging rights on hand tonight if we win this game. We lost like nine straight to the Canadians, right? We weren't supposed supposed to win that game on Saturday. We did. I don't know that a lot of people, I know the betting lines will say, because I think a lot of Americans are going to be betting Team USA, you know, and all this kind of stuff. But I think the Canadian team is better than the United States team. We'll see what happens tonight, you know. And if they win this game, then it's two straight against Canada. And now you got bragging rights. And you don't know when you're going to play Canada they again and this
home,
kind of stuff.
They call it home ice advantage?
Yeah. A little bit of, yeah. Yeah. Home ice advantage. Yeah. Absolutely.
You don't call court. How dare you?
Home court field, advantage.
Yeah, court. Because, yeah. You know, home pitch advantage in soccer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, home field advantage
home field
in soccer.
Advantage, home field advantage in baseball.
Yeah, home field advantage in football. But no, it is definitely home ice advantage in hockey. And so,
the United States, -1.5 is the spread. Wow. They are the favorite on the money line, and the over-under in the game is 5.5.
So do you think the United States is going to win by 2 goals against Canada? I don't. I think it's going to be one of those type of games. Whoa. It either goes to a shootout or it's a one-goal
That's what I hope
difference,
happens.
You know?
So I hope. So what I'm going to bet tonight, and I know absolutely diddly-poo about hockey.
That's the way to bet. Just don't know.
I'm taking the over, and I'm taking the United States, and it's like +275.
Bet with your heart on this one, because
I don't have a heart.
You know?
I don't know. I don't know anything about what the advantage is, what it is. I'm just going with national pride. I hope this happens. A lot of goals. I think the game could be, you know, 4-2 America.
Yeah, okay.
Happy Dusty.
Happy Dusty, you're good. You
happy
win,
country.
And everybody moves on. Yeah, I just have a feeling it's going to be a lot closer than that. I think we're going to see. And again, we're setting ourselves
4-3,
up. 4-3,
I'm happy with that,
you
too.
Know, yeah, a win. I don't care how we win. I don't care, you know, what the final score is and whatnot. Just go out there and beat Canada and have those bragging rights. And I think that is important for these guys in hockey. And it's going to be an energy that you have not seen before on the ice. It's just going to be great. Mm-hmm. And so I think if you're not a hockey fan, I understand that. But give this an opportunity. Give this a chance. I'm glad I gave basketball a chance during the Olympics, and it was a cool thing to watch. Same thing with hockey. This is that Olympic moment where you can give this sport a chance and give it an opportunity and really see if you like it. And if you fall in love with hockey, pick up a team and start rooting for them, man.
What would be the perfect ending to tonight? Because you mentioned the World Baseball Classic. It was Shohei versus
As
Trout.
As time runs out, Kachuk from like half the ice hits one in the upper right corner.
See, I was going completely opposite of you, which is really good. Connor McDavid on a breakaway gets stymied as time expires. United States wins.
Yeah.
Shootout would be cool, too.
Shootout would be sick. Yeah, shootout
last
would
shot,
be great.
Needed.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Connor McDavid, last shot type of thing, you know, and then gets stymied and America wins and the place goes insane.
Somebody from the 816 says, it's Zach. He says, we're having poutine in honor of Canada, but they're going to make it with American Wagyu beef, American cheese, and I'm making cheeseburgers, not going to lie.
Yeah, there you go. All right, I like that.
Somebody says from the 620, wasn't getting too excited for hockey game tonight, but now you guys got me pumped. Probably throw too much money on it now and slam too many lime garage beers. USA, USA.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's what this is about. That's what this sort of thing does. Like, you know, we build our rundown, and like you look at it, and you're like, okay, hockey here. But then you're like, now I think about it, like there are so many different angles that you can take with this game tonight because it's national pride, it's entertaining, it hasn't happened before. Well, it has, but not in this regards. And it's
if it has, who cares? Nobody remembers.
And it's happened at the perfect time. Like, you had, you know, college basketball had its moment yesterday. There was a couple good games on. Mizzou played last night. KU lost to BYU, which somebody said in the text on earlier. KU would not want aggregate scoring with BYU's game the other night. Good luck with that. You have to win by 35 just to advance.
Well, don't put yourself in that situation.
Fair point. But no, I mean, that's why this game, like the magnitude of this game, like, let's be honest. Like, there are certain sports that happen every year or every 4 years or every other year where out of nowhere, people will talk about it because of the importance of it. Mm-hmm. And you asked a question like, how hyped are you for this game? But also like, what other sporting event that's like this, not a Super Bowl, not a football playoff game or a Chiefs game or whatever baseball, like what other sport out there? Is it a World Cup match? Like if the United States plays England, remember when they played in South Africa?
Yeah.
And it was at like 5 a.m?
Yep.
Vuvuzela's going nuts in Overland Park. And people were wrapped up in it. Like you didn't care who the hell Landon Donovan was. But boy, when he scored that goal against England and late
you
time
were
in the
fired
game,
up, yeah.
I mean, everybody. I mean, that's when Power and Light was born, basically, with the soccer capital of the world, with the United States in Kansas City. And, you know, you talk about sporting events, the World Cup, the Masters. To me, this is a lot like the non-golfer watching the Ryder Cup.
Mm-hmm.
Like, most people probably have no idea who Xander Schauffele is. But he might hit a putt.
Sounds like a golfer.
Yeah. Or maybe you don't even know who Justin Thomas is, but he might hit a putt against the Ryder Cup, you know, Europe team, and all of a sudden it's in Bethpage Black in New York this year, and everybody's jacked up and pumping, and all of a sudden you're like, kind of into this golf match.
Yeah, you get it. You get into it, yeah.
Because, like you said, there's lead into this. Like, there was the big fight, the three fights in 9 seconds because they booed the national anthem, and either you missed it or you watched it. And if you missed it, you found out about it like that.
Oh, yeah.
And now you're into it. Whereas, like, in the Ryder Cup, which gets me going, the first couple of rounds are like, you know, they're not really where they're at. And then Sunday's match play. Like, Sunday's like, all right, it's Rory versus, you know, whoever, yeah. And it's like, all right, we're ready for this. Let's do this. So, again, I think that's where we're at today with this game. The more you talk about it, the more you start to think about it, the more you research it, the more you're like, damn, actually, we got to change plans tonight. We were going to do this, but hey, 7 o'clock, we're in because either you heard about it, you did your own research on it, you follow it, or you're wrapped in the flag as well.
Well, and I also think what this goes to show you is this is a lesson for sports in general, that when you put on an event that is a one-off, that is a big event, people like it. And when we're sitting here talking about 162 baseball games or 81 NBA or NHL games or however many games they play in the MLS at this point in time, there's just way too many games, and they just aren't there. There's so many games, like, you can never create this kind of atmosphere for a generic baseball game in May or a generic hockey game in November or a basketball game ever. Like, to me, I think, like, this is where sports needs to really start to focus a little bit more about what works and what doesn't. And I think if you polled fans across the board, every fan that you would talk to would agree there are too many NBA, NHL, and Major League Baseball games, and the timing of these games is too long. Baseball's fixed that. They've condensed it a little bit. But we talk all the time about, and Vern has brought this up, and we can talk to him even at 8 o'clock about this, about, you go, you cut this season down to 100 games, and the magnitude of every game becomes bigger. And I know the counter is from all of these owners. How are we going to make up the difference at the gate if we cut, you know, 15 games off of our home schedule and 15 games off of our away schedule, whatever it ends up being? How are we going to make up that difference? Well, it's pretty simple. You have less games. They mean more. You charge more for those games and make it more of a primetime premium event. I mean, look at what they get for a Chiefs game. There's 8 or 9 home games a year, and I know that's different than baseball. You're talking hundreds of dollars just to get into a game now for the NFL, right? And Major League Baseball is still a very affordable product at times, you know, comparatively speaking, when it comes to, you know, professional sports and whatnot. But I think if you cut the games down to 100, you have 50 at home, 50 on the road, make them a more important game, charge more because there's less of them, and make it more of a premium offer, I think ultimately that would be better for the sport to have games like this, because people don't get excited for Tuesday in May. They just don't. But tonight it's Thursday in February, and the entire North American continent can't wait till 7 o'clock Central time tonight for this game to face off. Like, that's what it's all about in sports. And I think while you want to have a lot of games because that's inventory and you're making your money off of that, I don't know that fans want or need all the games that these sports leagues are providing.
Mm-hmm. Mackey juice for this game?
Dude, I'm pumped. Yeah.
So I asked you this. I know I haven't met your lady, but I know yours is a sports fan.
She'll be locked in. She loves hockey.
Will the lady be locked in?
She will like the international aspect of this game. Yep. She will like the internet. She'll be able to get into it. If it was just a normal, she wouldn't care.
Because hockey, you know, very attracted to the male, right? Like fighting.
Oh, yeah. That's her
intense
thing, too. Yes.
And then all of a sudden, it's like, hey, babe. What's going on?
Just nothing? Finished dinner.
What do you want to do tonight? So there's a really big hockey game at 7. When did you start watching hockey? So it's United States versus Canada. Okay, say less.
Yeah,
say
exactly.
Less.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
I think, though, if you got to do that to your girlfriend, you got the wrong girl. I'm just being honest with you, man. Like, I'm in a different relationship in my life, and I guess I'm lucky, like, if I want to do it, I do it. If she wants to do it, she does it type of thing.
Yeah, but she's a diehard sports fan.
Yeah.
Everybody's significant other is a diehard sports fan.
And I would suggest not marrying a diehard sports fan, too. Yeah.
I've dated both, and I like this. Yeah. Like this track.
This track is good, right?
Yeah, it's good for me. Like, if she doesn't want to watch it, I'll just go in my room with my two TVs.
And that's the other thing. Like, my wife will sit there and watch Netflix or whatever if I'm doing a thing. Like,
she'll scroll.
I don't think we've ever had that. Like, I really want to do this. Is it okay?
Yeah.
Because I think we start dating our 30s, and it's completely different. already have your life. You're like, I'm doing this, right? But like, I think if all four teams were in Kansas City and I said to Jen, we can buy season tickets to one, I think she would say hockey.
Really?
I do. Yeah.
That's a good question. Over
baseball?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I mean, she loves the horn. I mean, she loves hockey.
Yeah.
And like, you go to a
she
game in the person.
Horn.
The horn is fantastic, man. I'll tell you what. She
just
loves the horn.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you go to a hockey game, you're there. It's a completely different atmosphere. It's fun. It's exciting.
Yeah.
It's just, you're on the edge of your seat. And yeah, I think she'd probably say hockey. I mean, honestly, I think it's just, it's such a great sport in person. And the players are the best too. And that's the big difference in all of this is like hockey players are the most relatable athlete to the American. And I say that because they drink beer, they fight, they play for their country. They don't make a lot of money. They're genuine guys. They remember where they came from. They're relatable. Like I just tell stories all the time about hockey players just showing up at bars when we were in St. Louis doing remotes just to hang out because they wanted to be there and just hang out and drink beer.
That's
TJ
cool.
Oshie at 18 drinking Budweiser. Mm. Like, I mean, like that's what a hockey player is all about. That relates to people. And when you have athletes that are relatable, you become big fans of them. And so that's why I think hockey has such an opportunity because I think they're the most relatable of the athletes that we have in this country today.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, it's tough. I don't know, I almost say like baseball.
Yeah, they're all silver spooners anymore in baseball, though. I mean, you know, I mean, it's hard to relate to a lot of those guys.
Yeah, I mean, I just see like a giant ogre with like no teeth. I'm like, I can't relate to that. The guy's like a massive of a man that just beats people up. Like, I mean, that's just where I see it. I mean, the money part, yeah, I mean, I know hockey's not a rich sport, but it can be.
It can be. I mean, you got to have money to play, but right. But I know from covering sports, hockey players are the most relatable athletes, the most genuine athletes, the nicest athletes, the guys that give you the most time. They understand kind of where their sport is, and a lot of these other athletes, good time being, help the team win, all this kind of stuff. Like, hockey players are the best. They are the absolute best.
7 o'clock tonight, United States, point-and-a-half favorite, money-line favorite, and over-under 5.5. Gambling in sports has made an impact no matter how you look at it. We'll explain what that means. 96.5 The Fan. Your home, Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
$13.7 billion. I'll explain what that means. First off, have you ever seen this? By the way, you've been in the studio for 15 years.
Yeah,
have you ever seen ice on the window this high up? Look at this. It's so, like, there is ice.
Oh, my. Yeah, that is really high. No, I have not. I thought you were talking about the dead bugs inside the double plate glass.
No, there's over 50 dead flies in each pane.
How do they get in there?
Very, very sneaky, sir. Shout out Mr. Deeds. But, yeah, I noticed this when I got up and walked out of the room during the break. There is, like, it's covered in ice.
And that'll be gone tomorrow.
Yeah.
You don't like it here today. It'll be 29 tomorrow.
Nice little half crescent moon out there today. Looks like an orange slice. I'm pretty sure those were vitamins I took this morning.
It does look like an orange slice.
What'd you take? Vitamin THC? Welcome back into Fesco and Dusty. Josh Vernier at 8. Ben Maller coming up in about 30 minutes. $13.7 billion, Bob. That was the revenue in sports gambling for the United States in 2024. That number will only go higher.
Is that the money they made or is that the money that was gambled on sports?
I believe it was money that was, yeah. Okay. So the American sports betting industry posted a record $13.7 billion in 24 revenue from up to 2023's record $11.04 billion, according to the American Gaming Association. So you add those numbers together, $24 billion over the last, you know, fiscal year of gambling and sports. More states are going to make it legal. Obviously, Missouri, we talked about yesterday, July 30th.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to increase that number. If it's gone from 11 to 13 in 1 year, I would assume it would go to 13 to 15 or 16 next year, depending on how many states have opened it up.
The $150 billion worth of bets is just insane to me.
We've already had two segments, and we've talked about betting in both of them, and now a third one.
Yeah.
Like, it runs sports.
It does, yeah.
And it always has. It's similar to everybody being able to pay college athletes. Like, before, it was always like, you know, this guy's like, oh, I got a bookie and I can't say his name because it's, you know, it's like, oh, well, he gets the sports bet. Or you had to like go to Dave and give him a $20 bet and be like, hey, put this on the Chiefs and then like let me know what juice I owe for the house. Now it's like, well, everybody can do it, basically. I mean, like, you can't do it in the live moment in Missouri,
But, not now, but 10 weeks you can.
Right. Yeah. And you can drive 12 minutes to State Line if you're in Lee Summit like I am. Go to Row. Go to Quick Trip. All right. Have your bet planned out. So where all you got to do is just click, click, I'm out. Yeah. And then go back home. But this is something that is, you know, and this is why I think there's two different sides of the story. I think this is why a lot of people, like the Missouri bet, it was like very, very like pencil thin close, because it's dangerous, but it's dangerously fun.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you got a problem, like you shouldn't be doing it, go
man,
seek
that's
help.
That's on you. Seek right? help, but don't prevent me from doing something.
Right. And the other problem is, like, you know, athletes are betting prop bets, as we've heard about that. But yeah. also, like,
athletes are also stupid because they're making these prop bets that aren't even going to cover the salaries that they could make if they just hang around the game for
right.
a while.
And then the positive side of it, though, is like you take tonight a hockey game and you take someone like me who could tell you maybe three rules in hockey, maybe name three players. And two of them are like the most iconic players in the league, Ovechkin and Crosby, and then Kachuk, brother. So I get four bonus. But you can watch this game tonight and be like, so why are you into it? It's like, well, it's the United States and I put a nice little coin that the United States is going to win and that there's going to be more than 5.5 goals scored.
Mm-hmm.
And it attracts you that much more because the money's on the line, plus your national pride's on the line, plus your attention is there. So again, not going anywhere, and it's only going to get more and more in the billions of revenue.
You know, it's interesting you bring that up because you look at hockey television ratings, they're down this year. NBA TV ratings are down this year. The NFL outside of the Chiefs were down this year. Baseball ratings are up. I think the baseball ratings overall are up locally. If gambling is such a big deal, yeah. why are all the television numbers down then? Are people just making bets and not watching the game? Which is fine. I don't have an issue with that. But you would think, like, with people having juice in a game, I know when I bet on a game, it's a completely different watch. Even if it's like $5 or $10, right? It's a completely different watch of that game. Mm-hmm. Then if you don't have any money on the game, you're invested in every pitch or point or everything like that. Like you're dialed in
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds or Skims. Sure. You think about a great product, a cool brand and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Have money on a game. And so if I'm going to be gambling on a game, I'm going to be watching that game. Okay. I'm not just throwing money out there on some random game that's taking place. Mm-hmm. That's the way that I go about it. So with all of this gambling money that is coming in at record numbers, TV ratings across the board in sports, for the most part, are down. So why are the TV ratings down and dropping in these leagues if gambling is such a big increase? Like, how is gambling and all these dollars really benefiting, other than advertising dollars and marketing, obviously, that these teams are making off of the sports books? How is it really making the sport grow when all the TV numbers are down? That's the question that I have. That's the world that I live in, because I would think with all this gambling money, that means more people are invested in actually watching the games. Back to what we talked about earlier, there's just too many damn games. People are just betting. They're not paying any attention to them. They're having more fun betting the games than they are watching the games. Reduce the amount of games, and maybe more people will watch. But it doesn't seem right to me that all of these sports leagues are dropping in television ratings over the last year, but yet gambling is way up.
I think I can help. Because in sports gambling, there's so many different types of sports gambling bettors. There's the tailors, right? There's the people that tend to follow your bet. Like, for example, I can have a buddy who doesn't watch hockey and won't watch the game tonight, but he'll be like, throw me in on that bet as well.
Yeah.
Or
that's not for me. I got, because right. I feel like, and I still at 47, almost 48 years old now, I believe if I'm watching a game, I have an impact on the outcome.
Right. But I think the other thing too is that, like, the other thing with sports betting is that it's not all about, it's not all about live betting or live games. How many people are betting hundreds, thousands on possible outcomes?
Yeah.
Like, you can't watch the World Series right now, but you can put a $500 bet on the Dodgers to win it.
Okay. Yeah.
You don't have to watch the Super Bowl and hope that Patrick Mahomes is a Super Bowl MVP. So there's a lot of money on the pie graph of sports betting that goes to other things outside of, like, I would guess that obviously the number one betting thing is parlays. Mm-hmm. That's where they make all their money. That's right. Where people can bet 10 to win $350 depending on the severity of your parlay. But, like, the thing why I don't think it adds up to numbers are down, gambling is up, is because there are so many different semantics in betting on sports that don't involve having to watch
the actual game. I see. So a lot of futures betting and
tons
things like
of
that.
Futures
bets. Okay. I guess that makes sense. But even
futures.
Still, don't you want to watch your bet take place, you know? Or?
But I mean, if you're betting that Mahomes is going to be the MVP of the NFL season, you don't need to watch week 3 against the Saints.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
right.
You don't have to watch, you know, I don't know. You don't have to watch Bobby Witt Jr. every night
right.
if you have him to win the MVP of the season.
See, I would be. But that's just different. That's the world that I live in,
yeah.
right? Like, that's the world that I'm in. But I guess I understand now. I guess if you are a gambler that throws a lot of money out there, obviously you can't watch every game.
Yeah.
But I think they thought, and this is kind of speaking from a team side of things, they thought that this would, you know, increase the popularity of their sport by having gambling. And it really hasn't done that. It's just made, you know, people have the ability to gamble. Obviously, you make money off of the marketing deals that you have in, but it hasn't directly translated to
right.
more people consuming the product, which I think sports ultimately would have wanted, right?
Yeah, and the article ends with a lot of growth really was driven by existing markets, even markets that have been online for some time now. We saw really good growth. Foreman told ESPN on a follow-up call, pointing out that Massachusetts had a 40% revenue growth and Maryland 23% as key examples. So, quote, really, it's getting new people into the ecosystem and containing and engage with folks that are already betting on sports. So, again, it's the new person. It's the guy's wife. Honey, get on your phone, download DraftKings.
Right.
We'll get $100 in bonus bets and then put money on this. No interest in the game. No interest in that. But your friends or your family.
How many people have done that?
You call your mom. Be like, Mom, download DraftKings. Say that I referred you. I'll get money and just go put $100 on Mahomes to win MVP.
Right.
Okay, got it. And they're done.
Yeah, that's true.
And
there's
then it
a lot
says
of that.
Here to finish
yep.
it, the sports bet industry is set to add on and potentially only one new state in 2025. Missouri legalized sports betting via ballot initiative in November, and the state is expected to launch by mid to late summer.
Yeah, the only new state coming on, which is, I mean, there's not many more that need to come on right now in the gambling world, because everybody pretty much has already gotten it. What is Missouri, 39th now? The 39th out of
39,
50?
There's 38 states that have some form of legal sports betting.
Yeah.
So we're getting close to having it just all the way around.
All the way around.
On the come.
And I Missouri. Don't know why you wouldn't legalize it in your state. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Mm-hmm. Dusty, did you see Messi last night? No, but I still only scored in the 56th minute. He did start. I did lie. I said I'd go if I knew that he would start, and I didn't. But I chose warmth. So
Call me a coward. I don't care. Come on the other side. Ben Maller at 7:15, but also big win by Mizzou. We'll dive into that game last night and play you the audio that was hilarious in postgame because, well, they were on fire. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
Fesco and Dusty.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.